Kids can go with Miss Marcy. And the rest of you kids, we'll have some fun here too. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word that calls us to deeper faith, deeper commitment to you, that calls us to live boldly, that calls us to submit all of ourselves to the authority of our King, Jesus Christ. And now as we come to your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Are we all in? You've seen that question a lot for the past 6, 7, basic math is not my forte, 6 or 7 weeks, as we have unpacked what loving God, being the church, and blessing the world, what those things are, and what those can look like for us as we look at our vision together. So we're presenting that not just for academic reasons so that you all can know what the vision of Bretton Woods Church is, but so that we can assess whether we're on board together. I mean, are we really all in? Because God is calling us into something deep, something beautiful, and it may require some risks, and it may require some difficult decisions, but if we're on board for what God is doing in us, then we can, I mean, there's no stopping us. We don't have to be, I mean, of course, there's risk in everything. There's risk in not following God's will. There's risk in following God's will, right? Which kind of risk do we want to take? And I think we want to take the risk that follows Jesus wherever he will lead us. So the question is, are we all in? So I'm going to go over, once again, the vision. And you all get to take this home with you today, which is super exciting for you all. I know you've been waiting for the day when you would get all the pictures along with the words. And today is that day. Mark it on your calendars. This was the day I received the pictures of Bretton Woods' vision. But the pictures go with the vision statement itself. If we start with love God, what you see on the left is that picture right there. To love God is to have our whole being, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength called and brought into loving communion with all of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we say loving God, we're talking about what we mean by love. We mean loving communion with God. And what do we mean by God? We mean the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God as revealed in all three persons. Not just any nebulous definition of God. And not just any nebulous definition of love. It's about loving with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a high call, to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love not just our favorite part of God. Right? I love Jesus because he saved me from my sins. I also love God the Father. I also love the Holy Spirit and the ongoing work that he's doing in me. And our vision of loving God then looks like our congregation, us people, us all y'alls and alls of me's. I don't know, I don't have any good pronouns for that. All of yesens, all of usens, all of us. Yeah, us is good. Don't overcomplicate it, Andrew. The vision of loving God looks like all of us engaged with Scripture, growing in loving relationship with Jesus and listening and responding to the Holy Spirit's voice in every gathering and interaction. Three central practices for growing in our love of God. To be engaged with Scripture. Again, this is reading it, yes, but reading and doing what it says. Not reading the Scripture in the morning and then forgetting what it says and not letting it inform us. To be engaged with Scripture means to really be wrestling with it and to be really acting on it, to be growing in relationship with Jesus. And listening and responding. It's one thing to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice, to hear what it says, but it's another thing to respond. Right? If we sense a nudge, an inkling from the Holy Spirit to actually act upon it, well, that's sometimes more complicated than we think. But sometimes it's more simple than we think. So that is our vision. Are we all in on this vision to love God? Be the church. To be the church begins with our adoption in Christ into the beloved family of God. We're all spiritual orphans, but in Christ, we've all been adopted into one family, in his family, and he's dad to everyone. He's the nurturing dad. He's the nurturing mother. He is the one who has all the authority in the family, and he's the one who has called us his children, his daughters, and his sons. And that's the beautiful image of the church. And we all gather around the table, and there's one table for every tribe, tongue, and nation. A house of prayer. The church is a house of prayer for all nations. We are one. So that's what it means to be the church. And our vision of being the church is an expansive vision of the church. An expanding multicultural community, we begin to more faithfully reflect the diversity of our neighborhood and neighboring communities. We're not seeking to protect a dominant culture. Like, this is our dominant culture. We are like this. If you're not like this, and if you don't conform to every little thing about us, then you're not welcome here, right? That's not what we're about. We want to protect, certainly, the core tenets of the gospel and the Christian faith, right? We want to continue to hold those as central, but we don't want to make distinctions and divisions within the body of Christ that are not glorifying to God and not pointing towards unity. So we don't seek to protect a dominant culture, but we expand our church culture toward a clearer reflection of the kingdom of God, both in our composition and in our loving attentiveness to the Holy Spirit's work in each other's lives. We already are the beloved family of God. We are a bunch of people seeking to love God, and we have a pretty diverse table here. We have people of all different ages. We have people who come from different places. We have people who had different kinds of jobs. We have people who have struggled to find jobs. We have people who came from families that were very prim and proper and tied together, and we have people who have come from families that are wild and crazy, and you never know what's going to happen next. We have a lot of diversity around our table here at Bretton Woods. And our vision is that that table will continue to expand. It's not like this is something brand new for us to expand the table. No, we're already a cornucopia, to use a Thanksgiving image, of all different sorts of people. But there's more people. And there's more different kinds of people. And there's people right here in our community that we may not be reaching because we haven't figured out how to welcome them, how to invite them to the table, how to make space for them at the table. So our kingdom culture continues to expand. And so this vision could look like us building some significant relationships, I don't know, perhaps with other communities in the Lansing area, maybe with other churches, maybe with a church that's a predominantly African-American church, or a church in the area that is an immigrant church, or, you know, maybe we could be involved in some sort of ministry where we're rubbing shoulders with refugees, immigrants, people in our community, people right here in our neighborhood who we may miss because we're just doing our own thing. They could look like a lot of things. But the question is, are we all in? Are we all in on this vision of being the church, of continuing to grow, of continuing to expand that table? And then finally, blessing the world. To bless the world is not a mere nicety, but it's the proclamation, speaking forth, right? That's what proclaiming is, and demonstration of the good news of Jesus. We want to proclaim it, and we want to demonstrate it. Nobody wants words without action. And sometimes actions without words leave people wondering, well, what was that? Sometimes we need the words to tell the story, right? We need the words to convey why it is we are the way we are, the way we do the things that we do. So, blessing the world. It's proclaiming and demonstrating the good news of Jesus, first in our local neighborhood and in our being sent out by the Holy Spirit into various communities throughout the world. So in our cities and townships, right, we live in different places, in our workplaces and in our schools, the places we spend time, and all over the world, right? That is what we want to do. We want to bless the world, bless all these people. And maybe that means inviting somebody to church, but not necessarily. You may be blessing people who already have a church home, and we're not trying to steal people away from other churches to come here, right? We're trying to find people who have no home, right? Who have no spiritual home to come here. Or people who don't know Jesus at all, so we can share the good news of Jesus with them, and then, you know, then we can invite them to hopefully be part of our spiritual home, but the goal is the furthering of the gospel and the blessing of God's people, right? If we're doing that, then it doesn't matter if we have 1,000 people in the seats, 100 people in the seats, 40 people in the seats, 30 people in the seats. If we're doing the ministry of the gospel, if we're really blessing the world, God will take care of us, and God will take care of them, and he is taking care of them through us. So that vision of blessing the world looks like our congregation, again, us, all of us, humbly and actively seeking the flourishing of this Bretton Woods neighborhood and surrounding area to which we've been called. So we have the two images of the plant and the building. What can we build? What can we construct? How can we help contribute to the flourishing, to the growth of our neighborhood, of our community? How can we bless and truly make this the best possible place to live, the best possible place to spend time? And also, so that's on the, you'll notice that's on the demonstration side. You see the hands up at the top next to the cross? You see those hands? Everybody see what I'm talking about? The top of the picture, next to the cross, there's hands. This is our symbol for demonstration. We demonstrate the good news of Jesus by helping make our neighborhood, our community, and wherever we go, flourish, by making it a better place, by blessing it. And then we proclaim, speak out the good news of the gospel also by inviting our neighbors here, our neighbors at home, our neighbors wherever we go. Jesus gives us a very large definition of neighbor. Anybody we encounter can become our neighbor. Inviting our neighbors to take one step closer to or deeper in relationship with Jesus. And we've talked about how if each person just takes one person or two people and meaningfully shares the gospel, the good news of Jesus with them, disciples them, pours your life, if you pour your life into one or two people, how much that can transform the entire world. On Wednesday, we got about three layers in, and we about ran out of people. Because I talked about how if I take two of the people, and then they each took two of the people, and then they each took two of the people, suddenly we had 17 people standing up here, and there wasn't enough left for another layer. And again, this isn't about just putting bodies in the church. This is about sharing the good news of Jesus. The gospel that has transformed our hearts. The good news that can transform everything. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The good news that all authority belongs to Him. That is what we want to share and spread to the world. And if we're doing that, God will take care of us. Right? If we're doing what God has called us to do, He will continue to take care of us. So that is the short explanation of all of this. If you've heard that for the first time, that might not have been enough. If you're like on the seventh or eighth time hearing that, you're like maybe starting to get it now, right? And that's okay. I've decided that I need to not be afraid of repeating myself, because sometimes I say things once and then never say them again. And I learned it, but y'all haven't yet. I'm always chasing novelty, unfortunately. So we're not going to do that. We're gonna sit with this vision and let it permeate in us. But Philippians 2 gives us some wisdom along the lines of this vision. Philippians 2 is the passage we looked at when we came together for our service of consecration. How many people were here for that? When we had the river, there was no water, actual water, but when we had the river flowing from the table down the center aisle, and we came forward and we brought the rocks, the stones, and the river and the stones are actually stapled to the bulletin board down the stairs here. What we offered, what we wanted to offer to the vitality process as a church. And I want to revisit the wisdom of that passage now as we look at how we're going to implement our vision. Because I think the wisdom is so important now, just as it was then. When we read Philippians 2, in that first paragraph, we hear all these words, these phrases. Paul's calling us to be united with Christ, to have a common sharing with the Spirit, and to have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had. So we're called to unity. Now, we don't have to all think all the exact same things, but we have to have unity, right? There's always diversity within unity. Unity is never like calling us to all be exactly the same, right? But we got to be on the same page together. If we all have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had, well, then we're doing pretty well towards being united. The same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And that is what the rest of Philippians 2 is about. Explaining, showing us what that attitude of mind is. So if we're on the same page, if we all share the same attitude of Jesus, then we can accomplish anything together. And particularly, we can accomplish the vision that God has placed before us. Verse 2. Being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. To be one in spirit and mind requires this, that we don't have selfish ambition, we put others above ourselves, and we look to others' interests above our own. Check, check, check. Easy, easy, easy. No problem, right? I'm always looking to other people's interests before myself. I always pay my neighbor's utility bills before I pay my own. You're all laughing because you don't do it either, right? No, I mean, that's simple. Of course we got to pay our own utility bills. But I mean, we're always focusing on our own interests, right? It's sad when somebody else has a hard time, but it's downright tragic when we're having a hard time, right? The gospel calls us to not have selfish ambition, to value others over ourselves, and to listen to others' interests. That's how we can hang together. And I say, we do this well. That's how we can sustain a diverse body, right? Where we don't agree on everything. We didn't all vote for the same person, right? We don't all vote for the same local things. Like, we don't all have the same perspectives on the world, right? We can hold all that together because of Jesus. Right? Because Jesus is shaping us and transforming us and realizing that I can look to others' interests before my own. And I can genuinely listen to somebody who I disagree with, and I don't have to hate them, despite what Facebook tells me. I don't have to hate the people I disagree with, right? I can still love them. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that, now we get into the poem. Sorry, I jumped the gun earlier. If we ask the question, what would Jesus do? This is what Jesus did according to Philippians 2. He didn't leverage his God equality for privileges for himself. Right? He was equal with God. Jesus was the Son of God. But he didn't leverage that equality to like get better things. Right? He didn't leverage it to say, oh, I want to have the nicest house on the block. He was homeless his entire life. The very Son of God who created all things was homeless. Think about that. He didn't leverage it into something better for himself. He instead made himself nothing, became a servant, and humbled himself, ultimately humbling himself to obedience to death on the cross. This is the sort of example Jesus set for us. It's baffling. It's unbelievable that the one who had so much, has so much, comes to earth and just kind of holds it so completely open-handedly. I mean, if I had access to the kind of power Jesus did, let me tell you, I probably wouldn't be preaching in a church with 40 people in it, right? And none of, and you guys would all be somewhere else too, like, you know, in wherever your favorite place to go is, the Bahamas or, you know, something like that. you would take, at least I would take all that power and authority to make my situation better, even if it wasn't all entirely selfish. I would make sure I was taken care of first, right? We would make sure we were taken care of. If you win the lottery, yeah, I'd give away a lot of it, of course, but of course, I would make sure I was taken care of first. And maybe a little extra larger TV, nicer car. Just make sure I'm taking, you know, we need a reliable vehicle. And it could be super fancy and my dream car, but it's reliable. That's just pointing out, I'm not Jesus. And I have those same human urges that we all do. So this is the example Jesus sets for us. And then verse 9 begins with the word what? What does verse 9 begin with? What's the first word of verse 9? Therefore. What's the question we got to ask? What's it there for? Thank you, Joe. What is the therefore there for? That means that everything before it has been leading up to this moment. All that stuff happened, and therefore, this is the result. Because Jesus had no selfish ambition, valued others over himself, and others' interests above his own, didn't leverage his God equality, made himself nothing, made himself a servant, humbled himself to death on the cross. Because of that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God gives Jesus God exalts his name to the highest place, not because he performed miracles or because he healed the sick or because he raised the dead, except as those things relate to his own obedience and humility, because he was being obedient and humble in doing those things as well. But it wasn't because he was so flashy or so powerful that God exalted him and gave him a great name. It was because, precisely because of the fact that he humbled himself and laid down his life. That's why God gave him a great name. That's why God glorified him. And guess what? The whole time he was doing that, he didn't have in the back of his mind, oh, if I go down really far, then God is going to lift me really high. Right? It wasn't like this ulterior motive thing. Like we make our lives miserable so that God can exalt us. No. What we do is we continue to walk in obedience, in selflessness, in humility, valuing others over ourselves. And it is hard and it is a journey. But when we do that together, we can accomplish what God calls us to do. Right? God gives us all we need to accomplish his vision. To live into our vision, we humbly attach to the obedience of Christ. We attach ourselves to his obedience, and we find that we have the strength to also be obedient. So, the vision. You guys still have it? I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to give you a little time to... Actually, I want to have you break into groups, no less than one, no more than four, okay? So I'm going to have you break into groups and answer this question. What about BWCC's vision excites or energizes me? Right? And it could be on the paper, or it could be like, oh, I read that, and it made me think, what if we could do this? Right? Anything in your mind that as we've... for the last several weeks, talk through this vision. What about it excites or energizes you? Is that a clear enough question? What about it excites or energizes you? You may need a minute to like just think about that yourself, but then break into your little groups. You can stay alone in your group. It can be a group of one if you find that necessary this morning. That's fine. I'm not going to force you to socialize, but ideally two to four. So think about it, break into groups, and talk about it. And while you do that, I'm going to go fetch the children for our final piece of the service today. Okay. Would anybody, we don't have to share a lot, but would anybody like to share anything that you heard or said in your group about what excites or energizes you? Anybody? Nelva.
One comment was that everyone is trying.
Everyone is trying. Excited about thinking outside the box. I'm just going to repeat what you say, so in case they can't hear you. Excited about concentrating on diversity. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? They take all the good answers. Oh, Joe. Yes.
Nervous.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the same things that excite us can also make us nervous or scared. Is that true? Uh-huh. That's true for everything, but it's true in this situation as well. Any
diversity in our community. I'm hoping that
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for your thought. One more quick thing, and this is, our leadership team, our vitality team are all thinking and praying about this too, but we need to put together a team of about 5 people that's going to be a strategic ministry planning team. If you have a passion for taking something that's just a vision and like making it concrete and putting real action onto it, this is just the team for you, because we want to take this vision and make it a reality, right? We want to come up with specific plans of how we can make this vision come to life in a strategic way and in a thoughtful way, not like so that we can manipulate people. I mean, that's, sometimes you hear strategic and it's like, it's kind of a scary word, at least for people like me it can be. But we just want to be thoughtful and intentional about everything that we do. So if that's something that you're interested in, please continue praying about it and then talk to me about it. One of the pieces of our vision is blessing the world. And we have the opportunity, again, already thanked so many of you for your donations. We have 2 families just around the corner from the neighborhood here that we're blessing with Thanksgiving baskets. But one of the cool and exciting pieces is both of these families have 3 kids each, right? 3 little kids in each family. And so we thought it would be pretty special to invite the kids from the church to donate some of their favorite things to the kids in those families. So I'm going to invite the kids forward right now. And they are going to show off a few of their favorite things and donate them. Jaden, why don't you stay right up here for a little bit, just for a second. And Jaden, what did you bring forward? Do you remember what it was? A box of something, wasn't it? Fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks.
A box of fruit snacks. What did you bring, Addison?
I brought tortellini.
Tortellini, her favorite food. Steven, you know what you brought? I know it wasn't your choice, but.
Goldfish!
Goldfish! Hosea, what did you bring forward?
Barbecue chips!
Barbecue chips. It's one of his favorite foods. So they were instructed to bring one of their favorite snacks.
I brought goldfish!
Okay, you don't have to yell quite so loud.
I brought.
What was it? Hot.
Hot cocoa!
He brought hot cocoa mix. And what'd you bring, buddy?
Fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks, AJ? Twix. Fantastic.
They also wrote cards for the kids, right? For Thanksgiving. And we thought, since today is the day that we're delivering these things, we want to pray for those families that will be receiving the donations. Not everybody, we're not all going to go, but there's going to be about 4, I think, of us that are going to go deliver it. But we all want to be meaningfully there in spirit. But Addison, as a representative of the kids, is actually going to pray for these families right now, that this gift will be received meaningfully. And well, she'll pray for whatever she wants to pray, but we think it's so cool that these kids get to participate in this way and all of their rambunctious energy.
Dear God, today I want to pray that the kids in these families that we are delivering the food to are very thankful for the food that we have brought for them, and that they think that it's very good and that they like it. I also want to pray that they have a good Thanksgiving and that they will be able to have one of the best Thanksgiving dinners they've had. Amen.
Amen. All right. Kids, go find the grown-up that you came with, whoever that may be. And invite our musicians forward. We're going to respond.